Let's read together from the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and chapter 4. Write this to Philadelphia, to the angel of the church, the holy, the true, David's key in his hand, opening doors no one can lock, locking doors no one can open, speaks. I see what you've done. Now see what I've done. I've opened a door before you that no one can slam shut. You don't have much strength. I know that. You used what you had to keep my word. You didn't deny me when times went rough. Look at me. I stand at the door. I knock. You hear me call and open the door. I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Then I looked, and oh, a door open into heaven, a throne set in heaven, with one seated on the throne. I don't know whether you're aware of the role of doors in your life. Doors gives us entrance, gives us safety, privacy, determine our location. We're either indoors or outdoors. But doors play a different role in our lives as well, a symbolic role. Just look at the way that we speak. She's got one foot in the door. I don't know where he came from, must have been through the back door. I wonder what happens behind those closed doors. A door has opened up for me. A door has closed. We're living in a time, perhaps, where none of us have ever experienced so many doors closing for so many people at the same time. I want to invite you to look back at your year, at all the doors that closed for you. No, literally, places, stadiums, churches, closed. Work doors that have closed. Relationships that has come to an end. The activities that we couldn't participate in. I personally planned a pilgrimage for a few years, and suddenly that door closed. And I'm not sure whether it's going to open up again for me. It was my mum's 80th birthday. We planned big festivities for her, but we had to cancel it. And I said, "Don't worry, Mum, we'll do it later." And she said, "Yes, we can. I'm not sure whether I want to, because you can't really have Christmas in June. Don't know what's going to happen." Now, John writes a letter to us. Doors closed for him. He was the bishop of Asia Minor, a lot of congregations there. And the government turned against Christians. They started going after them. And they took John to prison, to the island of Patmos. And there he had to spend his time working on stones, fabricating bricks in order that they can build palaces and places of worship, the Romans. And for the people that he's writing this letter to, doors are closing. They're losing their jobs. A lot of discrimination against the churches. They blame for a lot of things that are happening, the Christians, like the big fire that burned in Rome. It wasn't true. But doors are closing. And what do you do in your life when you're part of this? This is happening to you. John writes. And he says, "I've got a message for you. I want you to look," and the old English word, "behold." I want you to behold. I want you to get a different perspective on what's happening now. I've seen a lot of stuff, and I want to share what I've seen with you so that you can see it, so that you can live with those images. Because you are living with images. The language of your soul is pictures, not words. Words are secondary. If you think about somebody, suddenly you'll see it in a split second, the face of that person. And then you'll start with your rational thinking about that person. A lot of us are not aware of what we think and how we think, but a lot more of us are not aware of the images that we are living with the pictures of a wonderful life, of what's happening to us now. And that's what John wants to do. He wants to teach them how to look at what's happening to them. That's not something new. He's just following Jesus. Jesus asked people to evaluate their way of seeing. He asked them to look at what they are looking, to who they are looking at. Because it will determine your life. It will determine who you become. It will determine what you do. It will determine your posture. It will determine whether you have hope, the dominant emotions in your life is. All based on the way that you look. So I invited them to have a look at three doors. Three doors. Now the first door is, I looked and behold, a door was opened, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. The first door is the open door of heaven. Now, first of all, he says there is a heaven. This life is not everything. This life is only part of our life, and a small part of our life. We are eternal beings. And that's the first thing that he placed in the consciousness of these people. There are more to life than this life. There is a heaven. And the door to heaven is wide open. Jesus opened that door. Actually, he said, I am the door. God invites everybody into heaven. C.S. Lewis said, the door to heaven is locked from the outside, not from the inside. It's only because we don't want to enter into that room and close that door that it's not open for us. It's open. And then he said, I saw a throne when I looked through that open door of heaven. And there's somebody sitting on that throne. And so he's saying is, things are not the way that it seems. There's something else going on. Something that you can't see with your physical eye. There's a big story, God's story of what he's doing. He's doing and working through all the stuff that is happening. There's your story. Look at yourself and look at what he's doing. Find yourself and your story in this big story that's happening. He wants to give them an ultimate perspective because they've got a relative perspective on what's happening. If you say, I saw the sun come up this morning and I saw the sun set this evening, it's a relative truth. If you can get in a spacecraft and just get some distance from the earth, you will see the sun doesn't set and the sun never comes up. That's an ultimate perspective. That's the ultimate truth about the sun. And that's what John is trying to tell us. There is a throne. A throne means there is governance. It's chaotic. It looks as if the devil is let loose. It looks as if the devil is ruling. He says, no, there is a throne. And Jesus is on the throne. And then he gives him a lot of names to tell us about something about who he is, but also something about the way that he functions, the way that he does things. He is the Holy One. He's the Truthful One. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's the one who is, who was, who forever shall be. He's the firstborn. He's the witness of God. He's also Al-Fata, the one who opens doors and the one who shuts doors. So things aren't what they look like. And it's a big, big invitation for us to have this view of heaven and of a throne. It perhaps helps us to deal, first of all, with doors that are closing in our lives. It can be very painful if a door closes on your life. The life that you had, everything that you dreamt about, wanted to have in life, all gone. And you can wonder, why does this happen to me? We don't always know. But we know one thing, and that's the message of John. If you can grow through this, if you can persevere, you will change. You will experience endurance and you will receive a crown if you can do it. You can learn through this. So this is one of the sayings in the times of the Greeks. Pathemata, mathemata. Learn through suffering. If you can't see and believe that there is a throne, you might think, I'm on the throne. I'm in charge and I can change this. You might find yourself caught up in bitterness, in the blaming game, feeling entitled that I want something else. I'm entitled to something else. Accept doors close. It's part of life. But you always open other doors. So the second door is the door of our hearts. It's a closed door. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. It's the door of our life, the door of our inner world, the door of our heart. We are in control of this door. We are not in control of the door of heaven and of the throne. And that's a big challenge in life. You know, sometimes we think too little of ourselves and we don't know the power and the control that we have or the influence that we have. But sometimes we miss it completely and we think we have the control. We don't have the control. But one thing is for sure, the door to our hearts, we are in control. He's given us that power to open up our hearts. And it's our responsibility to open up our heart for God so that He can have community with us. Isn't it strange that He stands and knock at the door of a church of Christians? Well, it becomes more clear when we look at what it means. I will come in and have supper. I will come in and commune with you. I'll spend time with you. We'll become friends, you know? So that's the invitation. And Teresa of Avila said that our inner world is like a castle. There's a lot of rooms in our inner world. And sometimes there are doors that are closed of our heart. And the invitation is to open up every heart, every door of our heart for God. You know, perhaps there's the man cave. He's not part of it. He's not welcome there. Perhaps it's the dining room, eating, the bedroom, whatever. And this is the invitation so that you can go through life with Jesus. You can be successful like these Christians of Laodicea and can have a lot and be very religious, but you don't have that friendship with Him. And He wants that with you, especially with a door that closed in your life. He wants to go through you, through it with you, to help you to let go. Because what you do with a door that closes will determine the door that opens up for you. So here's the question. Have you opened up your heart? Do you hear the knock, the invitation to go through life, whatever happens, with Him? The third door is an open door. He says, behold, I've set before thee an open door. Behold, look at it. There's always an opportunity, a door that has opened up for you. You've just got to see it and then step through it. Now, there's a lot of things that can stand in our way not to see the door or to move through the open door. And one of those are the fact that it's hard for us to let go of the door that has closed on us. Alan Keller said, when one door of happiness closes, another one opens. But often, we look so long at the closed door that we do not see the one which has opened up for us. Alan Keller was born deaf and blind. And somebody once asked her and said, it must be terrible to be blind. And she said, no, there's something far worse than that. And they said, what? She said, to live without vision. And she says, you've got to see the door that God opens up to you. But like Martha, like Mary, you can be so blinded by your grief of the door, of the life that you've lost, that you can't see the door that has opened. You can't let go. You hang on to it. But by doing that, you say that you know better what you need. And you say, I'm in control. I can change this. So that's one of the big invitations of a closed door, is to accept it and to let it go. But to know this is not the end. There is another door opening up for me. Sometimes we're full of fear. We don't know what's on the other side of this door. And I don't want to live in uncomfortable. I don't want to be upset. I don't want to lose my groove. But the invitation is to risk. Let it go. This door opens up for you. Go through it. Perhaps we've got to discern. Somebody told me yesterday that about the doors that closed on their lives, and they were very anxious, worried about what's going to happen to them. And suddenly three doors open up to them. Wonderful doors. And they don't know which one to take. You've got to discern. You might have a lot of open doors. You can't walk through all of them. What's the door that's opening up? The door from... Sometimes we look at the door and we think it's too small. I want a big door. Now the prophet Zechariah warns us and says, don't despise small beginnings. It might be small now. It's an opportunity from God to walk through that door. So I wonder what John felt about his door. What's the door that was opened up to him? Is it his writing? It might be the only thing in the evening that he did where he felt, but this might be useful. He never knew whether it would reach the people he's writing it for. And I think the guys that were censoring the letters on the island looked at it and they said, well, let's send it. Let them see. This old man has lost it. Talks about dragons and animals with four heads and strange things. Let's show them. He's lost it. But at the time that he might have felt that there's not a lot of meaning in my life. I can't really do anything. At that stage, he's mightily used of God through writing this letter. Up to today, through the ages, people are reading this letter and find encouragement and inspiration for life through this. So I want to ask you about the door that has closed in your life. Is it somebody that you've lost, a relationship, a dream that died, wholeness that lost? Do you see, can you see the opening up of another door and opportunity? Just one story to end with. Somebody had long COVID, and now she's living with a chronic condition after COVID. And here's her words. Of course, nobody would like to sit with a chronic condition. And I've asked God to take it away a lot of times. But I'm sitting with it now. But to be quite honest, if I had to make the decision of the life I had without this condition or the life that I have with this condition, I choose the life that I have now with the condition. Because there is depth. There is clarity that I haven't lived with. I know what is important now. And strangely enough, I experience so much gratitude in my life. Suddenly, little things have become so pleasurable to me. And the relationships that I have, I live in gratitude and experience and appreciate every moment of my life now. And especially those moments that I'm without pain. A new life is busy taking shape. And I love this life. It's a new door that has opened up for me. So friends, I invite you for this next week or time that lies ahead that you would walk with a prayer, that you would pray every time that you walk through a door. And the prayer must be the desire of your heart. Is it perhaps to see the open door of heaven and the throne and Jesus on the throne? Perhaps you're battling with it. You're battling with meaning and why all these things are happening to me and in the world. The invitation is to pray that prayer then. Lord, open my eyes so that I can see the throne. Perhaps you want to open up a door for him in your heart. And you find it hard. Ask him, help me to open this room, this door in my heart for you. Perhaps it is to see the open door. That's one of the big prayers that Paul prays. He says, he prays that we might see the open door, the possibilities of our lives. Clearly see it. Lord, open up my eyes so that I can see the door that is open up for me. I want to invite you to perhaps close your eyes if you feel comfortable and just listen to the words that comes to you. And imagine that he's with you and he's saying these words to you. I give you your life. I formed you in your mother's womb. And it's through my will that you've entered this world. Look at everything you have in your life and what makes up your life. The place where you are. The people in your life. The things that you have. The opportunities. All the activities that you're participating in. Everything that comes your way. I've given it to you. All these things come from me. Everything in your life is a gift from me. Look at your body. Look at your organs, your senses, the ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to smell, the ability to touch, the ability to feel. It's a gift. Look at all your inner functions, your memory, your imagination. You are miraculously made and put together. I'm giving life to you now, at this moment. Your breath, everything in your life is given to you every second. Look at it so that you can become aware of it. So you can grow in your awareness, consciousness, in the grandeur of the life that I've given you. And I haven't just given you something. I'm giving myself to you. I'm with you. I want to share my life with you. I want you to know me. I want to be seen. I made you for me. And I long to have a deep, intimate relationship with you. I think of you all the time. And I want to give you, and I am giving you, strength in the inner man so that you can live with energy. I give you my peace so that you can leave with a deep sense of everything is coming together in my life. All shall be well. I give you ideas. I give you my word so that your soul can be nourished. I pour out my love in your heart so you can have a deep relationship with people. I'm going to send people your way who needs you, and I'm going to send people who needs you your way. Nothing's accidental. I created you, and I'm putting in you great and big desires for something good, for the truth. And I'm inviting you, come with me. I want to take you to places that you've never been, to places that you've never heard about. Why don't you take my hand, live with me. And this life, this friendship is the life. It's eternal. It will last forever. And I want you now to join me in what I'm doing. I have a great desire to heal and to make your life whole and everything in this world right again. Come work with me and see, I've opened a door for you. I'm doing a new thing in your life. Amen.